end of the service today, and I love our children are in here with us today. Let's give our kids a hand this morning. Love our kids. Fifth Sunday. It's a five Sunday month. We bring the kids in, and Pastor Steve gets to be in big church. And Pastor Jill, she's healing up. Glad to have her in here. But we're going to have an anointing service at the end today. We anoint with oil almost every Sunday for those that respond at the altar. But we would like to never make anybody. We'd like to anoint everybody in the house today. So I'm going to challenge you to open your heart. We're going to form a line right through here, and we've got a team up here, and you're just going to walk between the team. We're going to anoint you with oil and whatever your need may be. Maybe you need Christ. We would want you to come for that. Maybe you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen to that. I know I do. But maybe there's dozens of other things. Maybe you need a physical healing, and like, because God still heals. Don't y'all believe that? Well, anoint with oil. I want to read that scripture, Stephen, if you'll pull it up for me, just to get you ready. And there's lots of scriptures in this context, but this is in James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. We've been singing some praise this morning, haven't we? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's what we're going to do at the end. And the prayer of faith, we're going to pray the prayer of faith, will save the one who was sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So there may be some sins you need to carry through that line and give to the Lord. The scripture says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And I'm so very thankful for the practice of confession to the Lord. How about you? And it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a power as it's working. The King James, I think, says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I want to prepare you now and again, nobody's going to be made to, but we would like to walk you across in a line. We usually just come to the altars, kneel, stand, and do what we do. But we're going to start over there and just let you walk slowly through the line for whatever your need is, and we're going to anoint you with oil and believe that you will receive from the Holy Spirit what you need. Hallelujah. So we have been in a short series on the Holy Spirit, and we were supposed to wrap up today, but as I was preparing for today, I've had this message ready for about 4 weeks, but the week of I get back to it, one message has turned into two. And so I'm not going to preach both of them today so we can all go eat. And because we like to eat around here. But, you know, I had this great Independence Day message for the 4th of July. How many of you know that I'm glad we live in a country where there's freedom of speech and worship, aren't you? And we were going to celebrate that and celebrate the ultimate freedom. Who gives us ultimate freedom? Jesus does. But, you know, we're going to come and celebrate Independence Day with one more message on the Holy Spirit. How about that? So that ought to work, I think, because the scripture says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's made a reality through the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul said, it's the power that saves. And we're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit, because he's also God. And so I'm expecting him. Some of you are seeking the first-time baptism of the Holy Spirit. This could be your day. But whatever it is, some of you may remember just a few years ago we celebrated, it's been over 100 years, or we celebrated the 100-year anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. Some of you have heard of that revival. Others may have not. But it was an event in the beginning of the 20th century in 1906 where God poured his spirit out in a mighty, mighty way. It was actually had been a horse barn, if just to put it bluntly, where they were meeting or a livery stable. It became the Azusa Street Mission in California, Los Angeles, California, and it erupted. There had been a hunger, and there's been many revivals. I mean, we read about revival in the Bible, don't we? And there's been many modern-day revivals that we could talk about, but there was nothing, and there were some great revivals, the Welsh Revival, and of course, the Reformation, to me, was a revival when we found out you could be saved by grace or the church at large when Luther. But there's lots of revivals, but the Azusa Street revival was revolutionary. Even today, the missionologists say that 600 to 800 million people, after several generations, have their roots in what happened in Azusa Street. And the Spirit of the Lord moved. That's what happened in the summer of 1906. He moved in a mighty way for about 2 years. Now, when you get saved anytime, you've been revived. Can I get an amen on that? You've been washed, cleansed, you've been made new, like Tim was singing a while ago. That's a personal revival. There are times all throughout the book of Acts and throughout history when God really intensifies and magnifies what the Holy Spirit is doing and what he is doing. So, for instance, if I could illustrate, where three people get saved a week, 300 people might get saved a week. It just, where one person may get healed every 2 or 3 weeks, 35 people get healed in 1 week. I mean, the Spirit of God begins to move in a sovereign way that just magnifies everything the Spirit of God is doing. Don't ask me why God doesn't do it like that all the time, because the answer I have is I don't know, you know. But I do believe he wants to do it again. How about that? I'm hoping even today for a moment he will magnify the Father and the Son and move in power to touch you where you're at. People traveled not only hundreds of miles, but thousands of miles, traveled from overseas just to see what was going on. And like any revival, both modern and back down to the book of Acts, they had to go see the move of God. When some got there, they rejoiced. When some got there, they were just curious. They wanted to see what those Pentecostals were doing. Others were skeptical. There were skeptics there. There were others that were very critical because, after all, if that was God, it wouldn't look like that. Just like the book of Acts. You had the skeptics in Acts chapter 2, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just like on the day of Pentecost. But one thing was for sure, and one thing is for sure this day, is almost every Pentecostal fellowship, Pentecostal denomination, Pentecostal cooperative fellowship, all have its roots and its founding in the Azusa Street revival. The Assemblies of God alone, that's us, y'all. Because of that revival, where our fellowship was ultimately birthed, and then we came together a few years after that to focus on collective mission. Because of that revival where we have our roots, 68 million, 69 going on 69 people around the world know Jesus Christ and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Our heritage is great, but it's not enough. I'm thankful for our heritage, but it's not enough. We need to see people saved, convicted and saved and born again. We need to see his power. We need to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit greater than we have ever have, with evidence of speaking in tongues. There's hurting people in our paths everywhere we go, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and they need the touch of Pentecost. And when I say that, you know I mean they need the touch of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be an urgency in our heart that there's people lost and dying and going to hell without a Savior, because that's really Pentecost's ultimate mission, was so that we could become witnesses and rescue a lost and dying world. Church, we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit so that everywhere we go, every day where we go, we have a missional focus to share the love and grace of Jesus Christ. We need a Pentecost again. You know, I don't know, Pastor Jim, now it's been 15, 20 years now, he was our children's pastor. Some of y'all were kids in his children's church. But is there 10 people here that remember PJ? Maybe a few more than that, yeah. I don't know if y'all follow him on Facebook. He's been in Alaska for years. But when you follow PJ, you get the earthquake report in Alaska. And they have them all the time up there. And so if you're following him, earthquake today, he'll tell you what it was on the Richter scale. But if you stay with him every day, he stays with the aftershocks. Oh, and I could just see, because he was so expressive. And I'm sure every time the ground shakes, Pastor Jim's a little scared. But he reports on the aftershocks as well. You know, the other day, and I thank God, listen, we need to celebrate what God's doing here with this property. We got a new parking lot, over $100,000 of pavement for zero money. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. And we've got about $70,000 worth of landscaping coming to those islands that we pay zero for. It's a gift from God. Ask any church if they've had about $170,000 recently just given to them to improve their property. And our tenant put $300,000 in the building next door. You know how much we paid for that? Zero. It's a gift from God, church. Almost $500,000 just dropped from the heavens this last year or 18 months, and it's a gift from God. Man, I get Pentecostal over provision. Amen. I'll tell you what, it'll set a preacher free, trust me. Because when the parking lot's cracking up and you don't know where the money's coming from and it comes like that, whoo, I make you dance, I'm telling you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where was I? I just want to celebrate a little bit. $500,000 gift in the last 18 months. And there's more on the way. Hallelujah. Not to mention, dear Lord, it's a commercial time. Our tithes and offerings are up at an all-time high year to date. That's you. That's us. Now let's go back. That's woo. Praise the Lord. I was sitting in my office, and they're putting those big rollers. You know how they roll that stuff out? And I didn't realize they shake, too. I'm telling you, this whole building was shaking. In fact, I got up from my chair. I went, my Lord, they've run into the building. I run out the end door there. I run around. I thought they'd run into the building, and I was in it. And I mean, this thing is a concrete fortress. Even the roof over your head is about that thick in concrete, these big domes. Well, that thing was rattling. I mean, I thought we're having an earthquake. And I'm inside, so I ran outside. I think that's what you're supposed to do. And it was those big rollers. And I saw the guy get off the roller that runs it for lunch, because apparently those big rollers are not only heavy, they shake. I didn't know that. Well, he was over there having lunch, and I saw him eating a hamburger. He's like, yeah. I went, man, it must be tough to get off that thing and go home at night. Dear Jesus. after reading about earthquakes. And there are earthquakes, one in particular that happened in Yellowstone. Y'all know Yellowstone's a big volcano, right? I mean, if it blows, we're all going to heaven way down here. It's that big, some say. But there was an earthquake in the 40s where there were dozens of aftershocks from that earthquake all the way up to 2016. It wasn't a new earthquake at all. It was an aftershock. Azusa Street, we're part of the aftershock of the Azusa Street revival. Over 100 years later, not only that, we're part of the aftershock of Acts, the book of Acts. Come on now. We're still feeling today the power of the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to have more. And I'm going to use that word aftershock over and over and over. We need a fresh aftershock of the Holy Spirit. Every person in here, I don't care if you walked in full, you still need a touch from God, don't you? So anyway, John 16, I'm going to talk about a few aftershocks as quickly as I can. This thing is burning in my heart. You know, a preacher, about 4 to 6 times a year, preachers dream that they get to the pulpit and they don't have their notes. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I wake up in a cold sweat. Guess what I did today? I left home without my notes. And I must have called Darla 83 times. And I was ready to preach without notes, but I got notes, which is good for y'all because I can preach longer without notes than with notes. So you talk about chasing every bunny in town. What else does the Holy Spirit need to do? And we've talked about the operation of the gifts and speaking in tongues and all these things. But let's look in John 16, verses 12 through 14. Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. These are the words of Christ now. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus saying this. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now watch this. That's the Holy Spirit makes God a reality in our lives. Not just in our lives, but through our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to help Jesus be seen in us. Look to your neighbor and say, have you seen Jesus lately? Go, oh, there he is. Well, y'all didn't say that very loud. The Holy Spirit always wants to give Jesus glory. You know, people say, I don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit too much. I got to talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we do need to talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is living in us and living through us, it will always bring glory to Jesus. Jesus will be glorified. And when Jesus is being glorified in us, it will get people's attention. Now, some people won't like it. You know, but most people will be drawn to the love of Jesus. Most people will be drawn to the kindness of Jesus. Most people will be drawn to the peace of Jesus Christ that lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we need to glorify Jesus, but we can't do it on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I take this one seriously because this has to do about our testimony, especially in the tough, difficult things that we face in everyday life. Do you lose your testimony when there's friction? Do you lose your testimony when somebody gives you the friendly sign going down US 60 because you almost cut them off? I don't know what you do, but you can't do that and glorify Jesus. When the Holy Spirit, look, if I'm going to glorify Jesus and not blow my testimony, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, we talk about the power and the power of Pentecost and the healing and all that. But let's talk about some practical things today. Say, I need the power to glorify Jesus so that people will know that Jesus lives. See, we should want people to pay attention, not to us, but to who Christ is. How do we draw people's attention to Christ? You can take your Bible and you can find a scripture and you can beat them over the head and tell them they're going to hell without Jesus. Don't do it. I was just kidding. How do we draw attention to Christ? What are some of the practical ways? Titus 3 and 2 said, believers shouldn't curse anyone or be quarrelsome, but they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. How about being courteous? To who? Everyone. 1 Peter 2 and 7 said, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Be courteous. Why did it get so quiet? Well, by nature, especially for many of us, it's not natural to be courteous. I was going to pick on certain people from certain parts of the country, but I'm not going to do that. Since the Southern folk, we're known to be courteous. Well, I said I wasn't going to go there. Grace said I went there, and she's from New Jersey, but I'm not mentioning any names. And she's a sweetheart. That's why I knew I could get away with that. Blair, you've done a good work with her. Be courteous. Be courteous, be gracious, be kind. Offer mercy. 2 Corinthians 2 and 7 says, now it is time to forgive him and comfort him. Speaking of the man they had put out of the church. Colossians 3 and 13 said, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Be merciful to people. Christ forgave us. Have you ever had anybody on this earth forgive you of something? Let me see your hand. There's only three that never needed forgiveness for anything, I'm wondering. Just forgive people. Be merciful. That's what Jesus is. The Holy Spirit helps us glorify Jesus, and Jesus is merciful. Offer mercy. How do we draw people's attention? You think when you show people mercy, it doesn't get their attention? In this crazy world we live in, you know it does. Express sympathy. Colossians 3 and 12 says, as holy people whom God has chosen in love, be sympathetic, kind, humble, gentle, and patient, and patient, and patient, 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 patient. Oh. Look to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you. And some of this is the fruit of the Spirit you read about. I'll give you a little time. Are you ready? Great. And I love it when you're all with me. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You want to have an altar call? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be courteous and merciful and be sympathetic with people, even strangers. It'll touch their heart. Proverbs 24 and 26 said, an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. Proverbs 28:23 says, in the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Speak honest. Be people of integrity. Keep your word. On almost a daily basis, you can fudge a little bit on this. Don't do it. You say, well, if it's just a small lie or I don't say anything, it's going to work out better for me. In the natural, you might think it's going to work out for you, but when you don't do things God's way, you reap a harvest of not doing things God's way. this is some of the ways that draws, you know, when you are honest in the workplace about little things and other people aren't, that draws attention to you in a good way. Well, why do they tell the truth about this when it really doesn't matter? Being people of integrity always matters. Being sympathetic with others always matters. Offering mercy always matters. Showing courtesy always matters. It matters to God the Father. It matters to God the Son. It matters to God the Holy Spirit. And when we're full of the Holy Spirit, that will be the outflow that comes from our heart. I need a fresh baptism. Maybe we need a baptism that shakes us a little bit. Maybe this morning you're not as merciful as you used to be or not as forgiving as you used to be. You're saved. I'm not challenging your salvation unless you're not saved. But to live like Jesus, and we believe God's word, don't we? This is what shapes our worldview. It's our belief system. We want to believe like God believes it. We want to behave like God would want us to behave. I can't behave a day without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need a touch. Well, the Holy Spirit, and I want to park in this next one a little, John 16, 7 through 11. Jesus, before he went away, was talking to the disciples, talking about the Holy Spirit, said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." So not only is Jesus glorified, seen in us and works through us through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit convicts us in regards to sin and righteousness and coming judgment. How does that unpacked? Well, it unpacks in three areas according to the text that we're in and the context that we're in. The Holy Spirit will always awaken us to sin in any of our lives. That's before salvation and after salvation, right? For those of you that know that concept, look. Does everybody want to go to heaven someday? I think so. I believe that. Why wouldn't you want to go to heaven? Well, we have to realize we're sinners. And if we're pretty good people and sinners, we don't think of ourselves as sinners. Well, I mean, we're pretty good people anyway. We're kind, compassionate. We're all these things. But the scripture said that we've all sinned, Romans 3, and fallen short of the glory of God. We were born with a sin nature, church. And those of you that haven't accepted Christ yet, look, the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin so that I will know I need a solution. If you had cancer and it's eating your body for lunch and you don't know what's going on, don't you want to go to a doctor that tells you what's going on? Or do you want to just die of cancer? Now, if something's wrong with me, I want the doctor to say, "Dale, you've got cancer, you can have surgery, you'll be better." Right? We cannot pretend that sin is not a killer. That's why God loves people and hates sin. Sin destroys people for eternity without Christ. If you're without Christ this morning, you don't have a chance. He died for everybody. We all have a chance because of what Christ did. But we need a fresh conviction of sin. I can't talk you into it, not trying to talk you into it. I can read you 100 scriptures with 4 dozen sins, but if you're an unbeliever this morning, the Holy Spirit is going to have to grip your heart like he gripped my heart. I went into church. I just wanted my marriage healed. I didn't want Christ. I was living in sin. I wanted to play church and just have my marriage back. That's all I wanted, but something, the building began to shake that day. And something began to shake in me that wasn't the proud young businessman, whippersnapper, six figures in the early 80s, thought I had the tiger by the tail and my life was falling apart because I was living in sin. But I still would have walked right in that church and right out of that church, tried to save my marriage and go back to church. But God gripped my heart. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit that's heart-gripping, where we realize we are sinners. The Scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the Scripture also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. Some of y'all may be bound in sin, unforgiven in sin, but I want to tell you today, if the Holy Spirit is gripping your heart, it's not to push you in a way or condemn you. It's to draw you near. It's to pull you close so that Jesus Christ can forgive you and wash you and cleanse you and save you forever. But we need Holy Spirit conviction again. See, I can yell, I can get red in the face, I can get quiet. It has to be Him. And church, I'm not done. We get saved and we know grace saves us. There's no other way but the grace of God. I'll never be good enough. Jesus is always good enough. But you found out after you got saved, in your own strength, you couldn't live for Him very well. Some of the things you got right, some of the things you got wrong, and some things still had a hold of you. We need conviction to come back to the church. Oh, I wish I wasn't preaching this and praying this, because it's coming. See, if you're not living right, you can practice confession and repentance and get to Jesus every day, and His grace is sufficient. So please hear me and stay balanced. But when we sin, and we will get in the flesh again, me and you and all of us, we need a shaking. We need an aftershock. We need a touch from the Holy Spirit that says, I sinned. Not something that condemns me, not something that makes me condemn myself, but we need a conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. When we're not living right, it's not all right with God. It's not all right with Him. Jesus loves us. Jesus is a God of grace. Yes, indeed, He is. But we need to talk about holiness again. And easy. I'm not mad. We get dull. Oh, I sinned. I'll confess it in the morning or tonight before I go to bed, and I'm fine. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. All our righteousness comes from Jesus. We need to be aware of that, church. Again, we need the conviction to come back to our hearts. Again, not where we beat ourselves up. For there is no condemnation, Romans 8, for those in Christ Jesus. But when my mind's not set on what the Spirit desires, Romans 8 a little later, and what the flesh desires, I'm praying for me and you that the conviction of the Holy Spirit come back to our hearts. It's not okay. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about a guilty conscience, because regardless of what you've been taught, the conscience and the conviction of the Holy Spirit are two different things. Your conscience can fool you sometimes. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not a sense of trepidation, anxiety, or anything like that, or an intellectual awareness of judgment that we read about. We need to know what it means to be convicted, which means to convince someone of truth, to reprove, to accuse, refute, or cross-examine a witness. And I could go on, and I need to move on, but Isaiah, you may remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when God manifested in his life, he got the prophet of the day, the man of God of the day, said, it's all over. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man, a man of unclean lips. There was a healthy conviction that came to Isaiah. You may remember Joseph when he was tempted at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife put the move on him. And Joseph's answer to her was, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a sin against God. Every time we make a mistake, it can hurt others. It can have a negative effect on others. But every time we make a mistake, it's a mistake against God. And you love him, don't you? And again, it's not one of condemnation, just conviction. We need a fresh conviction from the Holy Spirit. Conviction is a good thing. When David had fallen, and you may remember, he said in Psalm 51 and 4, against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Where would you be today without his conviction? I'm parking here. I felt far from God in my case. I can't speak for you. It's part of his keeping way for the saints. A saint is anybody who knows Christ, that made Christ a Savior, according to the Scripture. Where would you be without the hands of God? Whoop, Dale. Oh. This way, Dale. Aren't you thankful for it? Aren't you thankful for the times you misbehaved and he... Why not? Aren't you thankful? Because his grace is always there. His grace is always there. And we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 13, and let's reread it. I think I gave it to Stephen. Just one verse. John 16 and 13 says, but when the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need to glorify God. We need a fresh conviction. Oh. Some of us are better planners than others. Some of us have the gift of administration and some of us don't, but you know who has a perfect plan? He does. We constantly need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, especially when we're at a crossroads. All of us do come to crossroads. All of us this morning aren't at a crossroads. Some of us are, where you need to know which way to turn, what decision to make. You need to hear the Holy Spirit, don't you? I mean, you need the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Scripture says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been good. He is good. And his plan for you is yes and amen in your future. I want to live in his will. How about you? But I need him continually, daily, asking the Lord for guidance. With all these property issues, and I continue to tell the advisory council, our board, we have to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We must know what the Holy Spirit wants. And we know that he guides us in many ways. We talked about this Wednesday night in Table Talk. He guides us in his word, right? There's a lot of guidance in the word. That's why it's important to know that. Another way he guides us is through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which I'm talking about this morning. Sometimes he confirms his guidance through life circumstances and through other people in the body of Christ. But we need the guidance. We need to hear the whisper or that still small voice of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Romans 8 and 16 says, bear witness in us. How do you know the Holy Spirit's guiding you? Have you ever thought, well, is that me or is that you, Lord? Am I the only one that's had that thought? Me and Tim. Is that me or that you, Lord? I think we've all been there. Sometimes it is me. Sometimes it's just a thought. We need to learn to listen as we walk in relationship with God, to hear that still voice. I don't know about you, but I need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough just to have heard His voice 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago. We need a fresh word for our lives from God right now. That gentle whisper. It will always line up with Scripture. It will always line up with Scripture. You know what happens with Christians? All of us. I've been there multiple times. We get too comfortable. I got a lot of almost the whole crowd went, right? I mean, the whole room moves just then. We get too comfortable, and then what happens if we get too comfortable and we don't press in and do something about it? We become okay with being too comfortable. And then after we become okay with being too comfortable, the spiral doesn't stop, church. Usually after okay with being too comfortable, it doesn't get very pretty after that. Well, oh gosh, stay focused, Dale. Usually because God is so faithful, He will allow something to come in your life to make you uncomfortable. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be okay with being comfortable. The Lord has more for us. The Lord has more for you. Oh, and we're rejoicing in the provision of the church, which means God is providing for you and we're prospering because you're prospering. Thank God for that. But I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need to be able to walk in relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. Know His word. Know His voice. I need to be able to live like Jesus and act like Jesus. I need to get out of a comfort zone, because when I'm comfortable and I'm too comfortable, the next thing, and I'm okay with being comfortable, I'm usually okay not living just like Jesus, because after all, I've got grace and I'm saved anyway. And I'm not challenging your salvation. I'm challenging your fullness. How full of the Holy Spirit are you on a daily and a weekly basis? God in His mercy wants to send us a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit of power. We need an aftershock. Maybe we need more than an aftershock. Maybe we need an earthquake. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know, church, we need a shaking, and it's a good shaking. We need a shaking where we're full. We need a shaking until we're holy. We need a shaking until we glorify the Lord. We need a shaking. We need an aftershock of Almighty God. And it's good. And it's good. Has your love grown cold? Come, Holy Spirit, and shake our hearts. Fill our hearts till my heart is red hot in love with Jesus. That's a good thing. Holy Spirit, my heart goes out to the sick. You've been prayed for 8 times. Get prayed for again today. We need to be tenacious. Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus calls me heavenward. This morning, Almighty God is calling us heavenward, not as a complacent, dead, dying church, and we're not. Thank God, it makes it easier to preach this morning. But we've got to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and we need a shaking again. Remember when you got saved, how sweet salvation was. Oh, I remember walking in that little church and walking out different, and how sweet His grace was and how sweet His salvation was. I tell you, if you're saved, you're already saved, right? You're walking with Christ. You're in relationship with Christ. So listen, this is not what I'm, and I do believe you can fall away from God, but that's not what I'm preaching this morning. Those of us that are saved need an aftershock of the sweet taste of the grace and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Not just, I'm forgiven. It's no, dear God, I'm still forgiven. Dear God, I still misbehave and you forgive me. Dear God, your grace is still good. We need to burn for the grace of Jesus Christ. Sit back and trample almost on the grace. I can't do it on my own because I get comfortable. I get okay with the grace. Oh, dear Jesus, let us know. Restore the joy of our salvation. We need the Holy Ghost. Woo, that's King James. I went King James. We need a touch from God. I shouldn't have brought my notes anyway. Send it, Lord. Send it to the Rock Church. Send it to the men and women and the children of God, the children of the church of today as well. When's the last time you prayed for somebody not inside the church? Dear God, just don't go there. And the reason you didn't is because you're afraid. All right, I've gone from preaching to meddling. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh outpouring, a fresh aftershock to quit trying to figure it out on our own. A lot of us are faced with so many choices right now, and we moan and groan to God and everybody else about it. Take it to God and say, God, I need the joy back. I need kindness back. I need patience back. I need love back. Go around criticizing, doing this. I need a right spirit back. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Holy Spirit, come and renew our hearts. My shouting ain't going to do it. I pray the Holy Spirit grip our heart and make us hungry for more of Him. More of Him. Well, I'll start rambling. I haven't rambled up to this moment. And I got fresh oil. Seven brand new bottles. Worship team, come on. Just kind of stopped, didn't I? It's because it's time to stop. And I got my loudest amen. It is time. Y'all, are y'all at least catching what I'm trying? Preaching is so difficult because I'm trying to express only what God is trying to express through me, and my efforts can be feeble. There's more of Him. And we need Him. Oh, how we need Thee. Every hour we need Thee. You remember that old, old song? And He's looking for a people that will continually want that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank You.